going on, everybody? This is Nico, and you are listening to yet another edition of your favorite podcast in the whole wide world. This is the Nico Show for Monday, January 27th, 2020. Welcome back. It's been a minute. I have no good reason for that. It's been 3 months, to be exact. October 2019 was the last episode of the Nico Show. So sorry. Look, man, I've devoted a large portion of my life to other projects, mainly the four other podcasts I host on this website. And that has been lovely. And the audience has grown on those shows. And it seems like the quality of content has also grown, which is the more important part. And I've been writing some more, a lot for the site, a lot just for my own edification. It's all good. It's really good. I'm happy about this. Working on this website is a lot of fun. I enjoy my life quite a bit. But, you know, all of those obligations have gotten in the way of this program, which is one I've been doing for 5 years. September 2014 was the first episode of the Nico Show I recorded. You know, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know, man. I have not exactly figured out what I want to do with this show. I knew that I didn't want to do it every week, like I once did. That was too draining. I just didn't feel like it. And when people asked me, hey, are you going to do another Nico Show anytime soon? That was my token answer. Like, when I feel like it, right? But I also didn't feel like shutting down the show either. That felt a little too finite. Felt a little too drastic of a measure, I suppose, to cancel the show, to kill it. So I didn't want to do that. And as a result, this podcast has been left in a state of limbo as I decided what to do with this podcast feed. But, you know, on days like today, I'm glad I have this outlet. Days like today, I need something like this. I need the space and I need people on the other side to listen because the world stopped yesterday. The world stopped. Kobe Bryant died. His daughter Gianna, also 13 years old, died along with seven others. Helicopter crash in Los Angeles. You know, I was hanging out just at home with my pops, and we were watching golf, and I was scrolling through Twitter, as I always do, and I saw, I don't remember exactly who it was that tweeted it, but I saw a tweet to the effect of RIP Kobe. And it's weird. I just sort of assumed, because I have the Twitter setting where you see outdated tweets, tweets that you think you will enjoy but are not necessarily recent tweets. I just assumed that the tweet was from the night before, because LeBron James had just beat Kobe's points record, or I guess he passed Kobe on the all-time scoring leaders list, moved into third place on Saturday night, and I just assumed that the tweet was in reference to that, and it was just sort of a tongue-in-cheek way of saying LeBron killed Kobe, quote-unquote. And then I kept scrolling, and I saw more tweets to that same effect, and then finally I stumble on the TMZ story, and at that exact moment I got texts from several people in my life telling me that Kobe Bryant was believed to be dead. And then I turned to my father and I said, oh my God, Kobe Bryant is dead. And we changed the channel to a news station. And I had this pit in my stomach that I couldn't shake. And I felt nauseous. I felt like I was going to vomit. It was that sort of feeling. And then I turned to my dad, and my dad had tears in his eyes. And was just as stunned. And man, you just don't have days like that very often. And that's a good thing. I don't know how many days like that America can take, you know, but it feels like, you know, we get something like this once every 2 to 3 years. And usually it's when a celebrity passes away. But I guess like a presidential election could occupy that same space in the public consciousness, or an event like 9/11 or Newtown, which is another tragedy. I don't want to compare the two tragedies, just in terms of how we consume it how we pay attention to it, how everyone in America seems to be feeling the exact same thing at the exact same moment. It's a really rare thing. And the world just sort of is put on pause for a few hours. And you don't know exactly what to do. And that's what happened yesterday. That's what happened. I suppose this goes without saying, but this is the most tragic sports moment of my lifetime. And I don't even know what comes close. This is perhaps the most tragic sports moment in the history of this country. I guess the only thing you would put up there is the death of Roberto Clemente. And I wasn't around for that. I can't speak to what kind of cultural impact that story had. But man, Kobe Bryant just feels like a part of American culture and the American story in such a profound way. And I don't imagine Roberto Clemente was at that level. Again, I don't know. But I don't think we've ever seen anything like this before. This is uncharted territory. And just in terms of celebrity deaths, I think of Michael Jackson in my lifetime, which I remember vividly. I think about Prince, which happened a few years ago that really affected me. I think about Robin Williams. I think about Whitney Houston. I'm not sure any of those top the Kobe thing. Certainly not for my generation. I'm sure for a certain age bracket, Michael Jackson meant a ton and Prince meant a ton. And Robin, including my generation, just adored him and mourned that death as well. But this feels different. This feels different. You know, I was thinking about this. All the text messages I got yesterday were not Kobe Bryant died. It was just Kobe died. Did you see about Kobe? And that's when it hit me. Oh, yeah, he's one of those one name dudes. He's Oprah. He's Ellen. He's Prince. He's Michael. Right. He's just Kobe. It's who he is. You don't need to include the last name. And like, that's how you would break the news to a family member if a relative died. Right. Like, you wouldn't say, you know, John Carpenter died. You would just say John died. Right. And that's what it is with Kobe. It's just, he's a one name icon, and he's the biggest Los Angeles athlete of the last 20 to 30 years. I think the only guy you would put ahead of him is Magic. And even Magic tweeted last night that, that he's the greatest Laker of all time. So if you look at just the history of Los Angeles sports, he is unparalleled. Over the last 20 years, it's not Mike Trout. It's not Aaron Donald. It's not Jared Goff. I know LeBron is there now, but Kobe's the dude, man. And you see all these stories coming out of LA yesterday. The one tweet that I saw that affected me most profoundly was a reporter went to a flower shop to buy some gold and purple flowers to bring to the Staples Center. And the florist recognized why he was buying those flowers and said, "Don't worry about paying for them. This is LA." Right? And oh boy, that is tough. This is really tough. And I'm struggling with the words to say at a moment like this. You know? It's a real sad thing, and it just bummed me out yesterday. And I can't even imagine what the people close to him are going through. I can't imagine what his friends and family and his wife and his three girls now are going through. And, you know, I did that thing when stuff like this happens, and I shouldn't do this, but I did it anyway. And I just did a deep dive on Twitter, and I just watched more clips, and I sat there and I watched the final moments of the 60-point game at Staples Center. His final game, and I watched highlights of the 81-point game, and I watched the Achilles shots, and then I watched the clips of him and Gigi, and I watched the Kimmel clip, where he's talking about how his daughter was ready to carry the mantle and how she was going to play in the WNBA, and how he didn't need any sons because he has a daughter that can carry on his legacy just as effectively. And then, of course, that clip of them just chatting courtside, and I didn't get physically emotional until that moment, but that's when I started tearing up. And now I just think about that little girl, man, and it's just not fair, right? It's just not fair. Stuff like this is not supposed to happen. It's not supposed to happen that way, especially for an icon like that, right? And especially for a little girl like that and the other little girls that also died in that plane crash. We're not going to know those names until a few days, I suppose. And it's just all just awful. It's compounded on itself. A tragedy is compounded on itself when you learn about the fact that his daughter was on that plane and what his daughter meant to him and his role as a father. It's so rare that you see a public figure who was on the back half of his career, or in this case, ended his career a few years ago, be so publicly devoted to fatherhood. It's a really rare thing, and that's not to say that there aren't plenty of Hollywood dads that are great fathers and that put that role first on their priority list. That is, you know, I'm sure a very common thing. But with Kobe, over the past 3 years, he has been so visually present, right? Taking his daughter to games and talking about her glowingly during interviews, and they just had a fourth kid, him and his wife, last year, a fourth little girl who is less than a year old, that's not going to know her father and not going to know her older sister. It just makes what's a bad thing a whole lot worse. It's so rare to see that, to see a guy of that magnitude, with that much fame, with that much power, with that much cultural significance, to put dad at the number one spot in his list of priorities. And to see that taken away from him is just as heartbreaking as it gets, man. It's just really bad. It's just really, really sucky. Tragedy happens all the time. People are dying everywhere, and they're dying of some horrible things. And there are issues in this world that we best confront if we want to lessen the suffering, because that's all we're trying to do here. There's another 7 people on that plane, and it's horrible. And I know there is a small segment of the populace. I know it's a vast minority, but there is a small segment of the populace that would ask, what do you care? This is a guy you've never met. This is a guy you have no personal connection to. This is a guy you don't know in any way, shape, or form. What does it matter? And my rebuttal to those people, in the kindest of terms, would be, first of all, Kobe was a real person, and Gianna was a real person, and those 7 other people on the helicopter were real people. So that's a tragedy in and of itself. But also, Kobe Bryant matters. He matters a lot. And guys like Kobe matter a lot. And women like Kobe matter a lot. And basketball matters a lot. And sports matter a lot. And art matters a lot. And culture matters a lot. We need guys like Kobe. We need symbols of American excellence. We need a guiding light to aspire to. We need a lighthouse in the fog. We need a guy who is so tenacious, so gritty, so dedicated to his craft that he's willing to lay everything on the line to achieve greatness. Guys like that are in rare supply. Guys like that don't come around all that often. And it may just be as simple as a Tuesday night Laker game in the middle of February. You sit down, flip on TNT, have a few laughs. Or maybe it's that moment when he wins a fifth ring. Or when he shoots the two free throws on a torn Achilles. Or drops 60 points in one last win at the Staples Center. Or maybe it's when he wins an Academy Award as he did 2 years ago. Or maybe when he's sitting courtside with his daughter explaining the game of basketball. Taking his pupil under his wing. We need that. Especially with the world being as divided as it is today. We need these unifying institutions. We need sports. We need art to bring us together. And Kobe Bryant was one of those guys on the front lines of that battle. You know, I spend a lot of my life talking about American culture and talking about Hollywood and talking about sports. And look, I have cautioned listeners in the past to avoid the hero worship thing, to not put too much faith, too much stock into the actions of your idols, and to not idolize your idols, just to treat them as people. And then today's events happen, or yesterday's events happen, and you realize that the hero worship thing is sort of unavoidable, right? He just matters a lot to everyone. And even people that I didn't know watched basketball. And I'll admit, by the way, I didn't like grow up watching a ton of NBA. My NBA fandom has really kicked into high gear over the past maybe 6 or 7 years. But my brother was a Laker fan growing up and watched a ton of Kobe. Kobe was his guy, as most Laker fans would tell you. And so he was always, I guess, in my periphery, was always in my orbit in some way culturally. But he was just sort of that omnipresent force. He was that single name omnipresent force. And you knew who he was, and he was a staple of our culture. I mean, I remember growing up, and I had some nerdy ass friends that did not watch a lick of basketball, could not tell you what a triple double was to save their life, right? But, you know, you'd be in a classroom and someone would crumple up some paper and shoot it into the waste bin in the corner and they yelled Kobe. Remember that? Kobe! And they'd shoot the three. And when it went in, it was a big moment, right? That's Kobe Bryant. That's Kobe Bryant. And now he's gone and his daughter goes with him. You know, at least Kobe got to achieve greatness, right? At least Kobe is a part of the culture now. He left a legacy, a profound legacy. He ended his career as one of the 10 best basketball players of all time and one of the great Los Angeles icons of all time. And his daughter didn't get to do that. And those other little girls didn't get to do that. And to just think that, man, they died on their way to a basketball game that he was going to coach, because that's the kind of dad that he was, always there for his little girl. There's nothing to say, right? In a moment like this, there's absolutely nothing to say. Because as much as you want to talk about his basketball legacy, and that's all great, and that's really all we can talk about, that's all we're really equipped to talk about, because none of us know him. We only know of his actions on the basketball court, and I guess we know about some of the drama off the court. That's all well and good, but then you also have to realize that these are people, and there are three little girls without a dad and an older sister, and there's a wife without a daughter and a husband. And that is just heartbreaking. And you feel like you know the guy because he's always been a part of your life in some capacity. And now this becomes a part of his legacy. This becomes the last chapter of his story. And for the next 50 years and well beyond that, we're going to talk about the great tragedy of Kobe Bryant. I'll be able to tell my grandkids, like, yeah, I watched that guy's last game. And I, from my living room, was doing fist bumps like Jack Nicholson and Kanye West on the sideline as that dude dropped 60 points. And by the way, I was a bit of a curmudgeon after that whole thing went down. I got in a huge argument with Mike Cosentini about this when it happened. My buddy Mike, who's been on the show before. And that was the same night that the Warriors broke the Bulls record and won 73 games. That was the final regular season game of the season in 2016. And they were happening concurrently. Both games were going on. So I think on ESPN 1, you could watch the Kobe game. And then ESPN 2, you could watch the Warriors break the 73 game record. And, you know, I watched that entire Kobe game, like, you know, most basketball fans, I'm sure. And I remember getting into it and loving it. But then afterwards being like, yeah, that Warriors thing, a little more significant, right? I mean, we're going to be talking about that Warriors game and the fact that they won 73 games in a single season for the rest of our lives as basketball fans. No one's going to remember profoundly a 60-point game by an NBA superstar who was well over the hill and had a victory over the Utah Jazz that meant nothing. And, you know, I remember the game that he shot 50 shots that game. I mean, that was the big thing the next day. 60 points on 50 shots. It was sort of a manufactured moment, or at least I thought so at the time. They weren't actually trying to win the game, right? They were just trying to give Kobe the ball, hoping to get to 50. And then before you know it, it's Mamba mode, and he just locks in, and there's a little glimpse of greatness for the last 5 minutes of that game. And somehow they win. And it's on the back of Kobe, who got 60 points. And I'm watching that again, and knowing what I know now, I have total goosebumps. And it does make me a little less cynical, you know? It was like still a meaningless game in the you know, in the story of Kobe Bryant's illustrious career, and it's a meaningless game in the legacy of the NBA, but in our hearts, in our souls, where it matters, in terms of a moment that you can have with a public figure, with an athlete, with a singer, with an actor, in terms of a real human connection, I don't think sports get much better than that moment. Oh, boy. That's Kobe. I'll tell you what actually got me. That moment got me, and this is going to sound weird, but when I saw the Kendrick Perkins tweet, where it was like an hour afterwards, he tweets at KD, "Hey man, I just want to bury the hatchet. I'm sorry that whatever happened. Like, that actually moved me, and I'm sure some people like chuckled at it, but like, that was one of those moments, and you have this around death. Thank God I haven't had to experience that much death in my life, and I'm sure eventually I will, because everybody does. But I've been incredibly blessed and lucky to not have to experience that much heartbreak. But moments like that, everybody just starts pondering things, and you have this desire to bury every hatchet and to say the things that have been unsaid. And I think these are all lovely lessons that we should internalize. Just, you know, be nice to one another, love one another, and tell each other the truth, you know? Say what you're feeling. And just don't leave that in. Don't leave that unsaid. Don't leave that locked away. If you love somebody, tell them that. Because they might not know it, and a word or two would really go a long way. And if you're, like, struggling in some relationships in your life, and they've gone sour and they've gone the wrong way, fix it, because who knows, might be the last time you have a conversation with the guy. Oh boy, wow. Gonna be an incredible Lakers run this year, huh? This playoff run has just taken on this whole significance. Obviously, we're in uncharted territory. I thought the NBA should have canceled the games yesterday. I'm not gonna like be a hot take machine. I'll talk about something in a second that's going to feel a little preachy, and I don't want to get on the soapbox. There's no reason why you can't cancel those games. Nobody wanted to play basketball. The Doc Rivers interview just hammered home to me how profoundly upsetting this tragedy is. and how much Kobe meant to his fellow players, especially the guys that he took under his wing, and how generous and giving he was with his time and with his resources. And just also on a cultural level, these are guys that grow up watching Kobe Bryant play basketball and that idolized him and worshiped him and loved him. And I just don't think that they should have played yesterday, but that's just me. But now this playoff run's happening and the Lakers are in first place in the West and LeBron is on the team and Anthony Davis is on the team. And now it's going to be about doing it for Kobe. And, you know, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame this year. They say they're going to induct him first ballot Hall of Famer, which was going to happen anyway, I assume, but, he's going to get in this year. And the Grammys, last night, even the Grammys, it seemed like he dominated the entire evening. There were Kobe jerseys in the background of most every performance, and Alicia Keys and Boyz II Men sang the song at the beginning, and they did the close-up on the jersey in the corner and the rafters of the Staples Center, because as Alicia Keys said, that is the house that Kobe built. So, yeah, it's just going to be a huge thing for like a year. Yeah, it's going to be something special, I think. I think if the Lakers end up winning the title, it is going to be one of the most emotional, profound sports moments we'll ever remember. I don't want to get too ahead of myself. This is already emotionally draining as it is, but that would just bring an entirely new resonance to this. The world is rooting for the Lakers. Go figure. Here we are. The world is now a collection of Lakers fans. Kobe, bro. Kobe. I want to say this too. Like, what a great villain. And I don't mean this pejoratively at all. I think this is why it hurts so much. You know, and why I think it would hurt if Tom Brady passed away tragically, or anybody of that, not just level of fame and level of excellence, but that level of persona, right? Like, Kobe was controversial, man. You either adored Kobe or you hated Kobe. And he was flashy and he didn't pass, and he was an offensive machine, and he talked trash, and him and Shaq had their ups and downs. And it was a messy, messy, messy career. But, man, you could never call it unmemorable. Like, it mattered. It really mattered. As fun as he was to root for, he was almost more fun to root against. And I think, like, sports fans are trying to reckon with that, right? Like, if you're, like, a Celtics fan, and you spent all this time hating Kobe Bryant, the death almost feels more significant. You know, it's like he's your yin to, or whatever it is, yin to the yang or yang to the yin. I'm not sure which is the light and which is the dark, but Kobe occupied one of those two spaces. He was not in the middle. There was no gray area. Such an icon, dude. Such a freaking icon. And I do want to say this before we get out of here, because that's all I'm going to talk about today. I have nothing else to get off my chest. This is basically it, because this is what everyone's thinking about. I would just like to extend a massive F you, to the American media over the past 24 hours. I am currently flipping you the bird. You cannot see it visually, but just know that, my middle finger is at full mast, and, oh, there it is. There's his buddy on the left hand, both middle fingers flipping off the American media. I'm sorry to get on my soapbox. This ain't like a fake news thing. That's not the point. Not trying to make it a everyone hates the media thing. But this was just a horribly handled story from top to bottom. And you should all be ashamed of yourselves. And everyone that reported misinformation yesterday should lose their jobs today. And I think it's now no wonder why there is such skepticism and malice towards these institutions. They deserve all the flack they are getting. I will say this. I want to give the woman on MSNBC a break that quote unquote dropped the N-word yesterday. She was trying to say Knicks, and she changed to Lakers halfway through, and the word that she said sounded like a hybrid of the two teams, and it was vaguely similar to the N-word, I guess, and many people thought that she had delivered a Freudian slip on the air using the N-word to talk about Kobe Bryant. Give that girl a break. Who I will not give a break to is ABC News, who implied on the air yesterday, less than an hour after the tragedy was reported, that the four victims also in the helicopter with Kobe Bryant were his four daughters, including the newborn, which caused a massive panic and put us in an unfortunate position as consumers to root against the media being right. And that's just like incomprehensible to me. And one of the reasons why we are so broken as a society, I really believe this strongly. That's just horrible, man. It's just horrible. I flipped on Fox News. Fox News reported on it before CNN and MSNBC did, because they didn't confirm the reporting until later. They reported that four people died in the helicopter, and that was what TMZ, I think, initially ran with. Turns out there were nine. People thought that for a little while, Rick Fox was on the helicopter. I don't know how this stupid rumor started, but that was quickly dispelled. But again, members of the press were reporting on this using meaningless Twitter feeds as sourcing. And that is just inexcusable. If that's what you're willing to do in order to get the scoop, if that's the misinformation you're willing to spread and the risk you're willing to take in order to get eyeballs on television sets, you know, there is a special place in hell for people like that, guys. And it's just super upsetting, you know? I'm there on Twitter, and it's toxic, man. Get off of Twitter when things like this happen. It's a really bad, bad thing. And eventually, Nick Evangelista stepped in. We were in a group chat talking about this, and Nick said, "Nico, I'm ordering you get off Twitter right now. Turn off the computer. Turn off the internet. I don't want you reading a single thing. Go watch stupid reality television." And that's what I did yesterday. It's a really toxic, evil thing, the American media. And again, this is not partisan. This is not meant to be, you know, it's not meant to be a Trumpian rant. And Lord knows I'm not talking about impeachment today. That's the last thing I want to talk about. John Bolton's book. Please, no. But I was just super frustrated that the American media put us in a position to root against their facts being right. We learn about this story and we hope that they got something wrong. Check your facts, you morons, you clowns, you incompetent quote-unquote journalists. My Lord, man. I went to journalism school. I majored in journalism for a year at Emerson College, and then I ended up minoring in it at Central the last 3 to 4 years of my college life, and journalism has always been a big part of my life, and there was a time where I considered becoming a journalist. I wanted to be a reporter. And I stopped, but man, journalistic ethics are something beaten into you at J school. It's a big thing. Sourcing is a huge thing. And now, you know, if a journalist, like a local, I saw the woman from the Los Angeles Fox affiliate was tweeting that none of the kids were killed in the crash. And of course, she was wrong as well. To see her just tweeting about this, saying sources say his kids were not on the plane, she clearly had not sourced that, or her sources were not reliable. That's why they remained anonymous, you idiot. And then to like use randos on Twitter making things up as sources, I can do that. I don't need you. If that's how this game's going to be played, I don't need the middleman. If the amount of information I have access to is the same amount of information the producers on CNN have access to, why do I need CNN? I can go on Twitter. I can read fake things being written about Kobe Bryant. I can repeat them. I can internalize them, and I can come to my own judgments. If you're just going to recycle the misinformation, I don't need you. You are there to filter out the misinformation. You are there to get it right. That is literally your only job. But if it bleeds, it leads, I suppose, ladies and gentlemen. And you can't get scooped on the Kobe Bryant story. This is how you're making your money on days like this. Sickening, disgusting, gross. One moment I thought all of Kobe's kids had died in a helicopter crash. Then I learned that just one of his kids died in a helicopter crash. And somehow that's supposed to be good news? You made a moment of hysteria even more hysterical. You added flames to the chaos. Journalism's supposed to be about doing no harm. What have you done? You friggin' morons. Ugh. Should all lose their jobs today. All of them. Just terrible. Just absolutely terrible. They made a horrible moment even worse. All right, I'm done. That's the soapbox. I have no positive note to end this on, just to say that Kobe Bryant is an icon, will continue to be. You don't need me to tell you that. I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. And I think we're all going to miss him. We're going to miss him a lot, and we're going to mourn the post-basketball life that we were robbed of, and that he was robbed of, and that his little girl was robbed of. We're going to keep going, right? Because that's life. Okay. That's it. Look, this is a crazy sports week. The NFL playoffs have concluded, and the Super Bowl is next week, and I'm sure I'll be doing a podcast about that in some capacity. So be on the lookout for that. Perhaps Brian and Mike will be back for our annual Super Bowl breakdown. Who the hell knows? I guess a lot's happening in baseball too. A story like this just steals everything though, right? A story like this just erases everything. So I guess reset back to square one. I'll be doing a Cultured at some point this week as well, talking about the Grammys, Oscar season, everything going on in the world of popular culture. That will be available on the website probably tomorrow. Why Is This a Thing? Coming Wednesday. We did a Dolly Parton podcast. Me, Nick, Adam, in honor of the Dolly Parton Challenge, did 9 to 5, the 1980s comedy starring Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, and Dolly herself. That'll be available on the site Wednesday. Thursday, Movie Hall of Fame. We're doing the year 1993. Adam and I will crown the best movie of that year. And then we'll rinse, dry, and repeat. I love you so very, very much. Don't you ever forget that. And I'll be back. But you know, you got to come back with me. Because then and only then will you finally hear the story of Lord Steve. Love you.